Right, Bert, and welcome to the Loony Witch podcast with me, Kat.
And me, Amy. And today we're coming to you on the pink moon. This is our first supermoon of the year, and it will actually be one of two. So there's one in May. And the name comes from the association of springtime blooms.
Ah, lush. Flower moon.
Flower moon. Well, actually, the flower moon is after the pink moon, apparently.
Ah.
So there's a little hint of what's coming up next.
The June moon.
How are you today? How are you doing?
I'm very good. I'm very exciting times. Very good week. Enjoying all the spring flowers and getting very much in the mood of Beltane.
I know. I feel like the warm weather that we had like recently kind of gave us an inkling of what's to come, and that's definitely sort of sparked my, like, yay, summer's coming.
Yeah. It's nothing like a few sunny days to brighten up your life as a...
No, exactly. Exactly. So, last month I asked you a question, and I've got a new question for you. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Do you feel prepared?
I'm not prepared, but okay. I'm ready.
Right, okay. So often we will both talk to each other about how sometimes we're a bit rubbish when it comes to being witches. What's your biggest witchcraft, magic, mistake, or something you always forget to do? And you're just like, oh, man.
So I am not great at remembering to cleanse my space and my crystals. Luckily, this podcast has actually helped me to remember when the full moon is, because before I wasn't aware, but now that we have deadlines that are centered around the full moon, that's definitely improved things.
Oh, that's good. Oh, that's a good answer. Mine was literally, and I do it all the time, if I burn something, as in I burn like manifestation, or I burn something I want to get rid of, I leave it in the pot and I go, right, tomorrow morning, when it's light, I'm going to go scatter that, and I'm going to flush it down the drain, and then I never do. Or sometimes I do, and then sometimes I just completely forget about it.
Yeah, you're just leaving that residual energy hanging about.
Yeah, it's not a good mistake to make, really, is it? I'm just leaving all the... I'm either leaving the manifestation never to happen, or I'm leaving the bad vibes, but that's something I seem to always do.
One mistake I think I made, so on New Year's Eve, I did a circle and quite a big ritual, and I think I'd forgotten to ground myself properly, because when I came out of the circle, I was absolutely buzzing my tits off and couldn't sleep then, because I was just so amped up and so full of energy. I think, wow, I hadn't like brought myself down enough.
Of course, yeah, like within chaos magic, there's loads of stuff that can go like wrong within like rituals, but I'd love to know like some other ones people have. One that I always do is I like forget about my crystals. So like I forget that I've left them outside. Yeah. And when I say I've left them outside, I don't forget for like days. I'm always like, oh, it's midday. Oh crap, my crystals.
I know. You're supposed to bring them in before the dawn, aren't you? I've done it the one time, I think in February's full moon, I did it. But that was like the first time ever. I think I messaged you. I was like, I remembered to bring them in before the dawn.
It is... I think I mentioned it like last episode about how sometimes like with witchcraft things are an effort, and obviously you make that effort for the rewards that it reaps, but sometimes you have to not do something as intense or as thought provoking if you're not in the mood like to do it.
Yeah, intention is everything.
Yeah,
it's really important.
Definitely. So that was my question of the month, and that took me weeks to think of, so I'll think of another one for next one.
Well, I have a question for you, actually.
Oh, God. Okay, let's go.
So, who or what is your favourite pop culture witch or witch-related TV show, book, pop culture reference when it comes to witches, and why?
Oh, that's a really good question, because I think some people would say some really obvious things. I think if I think of witches, I automatically like go to Hocus Pocus.
Yeah, I love that.
I think the whole, yeah, that whole more aesthetic of witchery is more it for me, like the cottage and the olden, like Salem, that makes, but also like Sabrina the Teenage Witch, I always think of that kind of witchcraft, like the black cats and
Bette Midler as well, come on.
Oh, I love Bette Midler so much. Yeah, I wouldn't automatically go to, I know a load of people would say American Horror Story, the season about witches, or they'd say The Craft, but yeah, it's definitely more Hocus Pocus, Bette Midler, and I guess that's just because of me as a child. Books-wise, magic-wise, I'd think of, when I think of fairies a lot, and I think of, as a child, I read the Magic Fairway Tree.
Yeah. It's quite racist, though. Yeah, like, if you read it as an adult now, you're just like, Enid Blyton, what the fuck?
I know. My nan bought it for Thomas because she read it to me as a child. But obviously, she doesn't, like, know that. But, yeah, I think that's, for me, that's all that comes to my head. So that's true to me that, yeah, Hocus Pocus is definitely my pop culture witchery icon. What about you?
So, have you seen The Love Witch?
No.
Oh, it's like a B movie, sort of, I guess, horror-ish, but set in the 70s, about this witch who has a beautiful aesthetic. Like, the costuming and the set design is just so on point. And she's sort of looking for a man and looking for love, but she ends up killing them every time, which is quite good. But yeah, it's got that 70s horror feel to it. I just love the aesthetics. I love the makeup. I love the costuming. She's just really cool. And there's a really cool bit where she's lying in a pentagram in her lingerie. And I was just like, yes, that is what I'm looking for. That is what I'm craving.
I also think of, and not technically, well, I suppose technically a witch, I always think I am like the brown wizard from The Hobbit.
Randlegast? Pendlegast?
Yeah, the one that has like hedgehogs living in his hat. And
Radagast.
Radagast, yeah. I think that is definitely what my aesthetic would be. I'd have a cottage like that with like jars and stuff.
And a sled pulled by hare.
Yeah. I think those are good answers because I think a lot of people would go to something different.
Yeah. Write in and tell us, comment and let us know what's your favourite pop culture witch reference. Yeah. I do like the Witch as well, but I can't watch all of it.
I haven't watched it for a long time. In the current book I'm reading, which is kind of like a fantasy sort of book, the witches in it, they have three tribes of witches. So they have, so the common thing between all of them is they have iron teeth.
And it's because there's an witches old... witches were, like traditionally in some of the books I've read, iron is, like, I don't know, bad for fairies. It takes away their magic and it burns them.
Yeah, so in these books, it's linked to, and there's lots of legends about Baba Yellow,
Baba Yaga, yeah.
Yeah, and it's linked to those, but they all have iron teeth that come out from under their teeth. And really? They all have sharp claws and they love blood in the book I'm reading at the moment.
What book is that?
So the series is the Throne of Glass series. It's really good. It's about the Fae as well, so about like elves and things. But the reason why I want to go through it is because the next series is known as the Horny Elf series. Ooh. Apparently it's like 50 Shades of Grey but with elves, so I'm trying to get through this one to, I want to read about the horny elves,
get to the good stuff. I love it's called the Horny Elves as well.
It's not called the Horny, I think it's called Court of Fawn series or something like that. There's loads of them. This one's pretty steamy for elves, but you know, it's a good one. Recommend it. I'm on the fourth book in the series.
Nice.
So, there we go.
I've got such a massive pile of books I need to get through. But my witch book arrived. I don't know if anyone following us on Instagram have seen my quest for this Welsh witch's book, but I got it.
That's amazing. Somebody commented saying they couldn't believe that you got it. Did you see that?
I had to go through fucking hell and high water to get this book. It was not an easy find.
How did you find it?
So I got in touch with the publishers in the UK, and shout out to, oh, I can't remember their name now, but shout out to the person running the publishing house, because he said to me, if you can't find a copy, come to our publishing house in Mid Wales and we'll show you our copy. So,
wow.
I know. But they put me in touch with an American publishing house whose name I also can't remember the name of. I'm so bad. I will put a link for it. And they sorted it out so they couldn't send it to the UK. So I sent it to a witch friend in America. Hello, Brittany. Thank you. And then she posted it. Oh, they posted it on to me. Sorry. Yeah.
Oh, that's really good.
Yeah, it's class.
Isn't it nuts that that's like a book about Welsh witchcraft and we can't get it here?
It's just very popular. It's a really cool book. I can't wait. For our next episode, we're going to do a deep dive into Welsh, well, as much as we can within an hour, about Welsh witchcraft. And I think I'll be using a lot of the information from that book in the episodes to come. So stay tuned for that.
I can't wait to listen to that one, because I think that's something I want to explore more. And I think a lot of people that we've had feedback from on the podcast have said they want more about the history. So I think that's going to be really, really interesting.
And I love history. I get proper white on for history. So I can't wait for that.
I hate the term white on. I love it. Oh, God.
So on today's episode, we are coming into spring. We've just had Ostara, and today we're going to be talking about Beltane, or Beltane, which is the festival traditionally held on the 1st of May, and it is a fire and sex festival, which are two of my favourite things.
It was really good. I've recently got a new book. I just recommend. It's called The Ultimate Wheel of the Year Guide, and I was reading loads of things about it, and I was like, oh, I can't wait to see what Kat talks about, because it's such a, I don't know,
it's a very festival.
Yeah, but it's a sexy festival,
it's
isn't
a very
it?
Sexy
you
festival.
Know, this is not about a hare laying an egg. This is about, you know,
fire,
fertility, and, you know, I can't wait to see if you talk about the fact that I saw and I'm like, wow, I didn't know that.
We'll see how good my research has been. I don't mention it, say.
I bet it's fantastic, so, yeah.
So, Beltane is the halfway point between the spring equinox and the summer solstice. It's held on May Day, which is quite cool. We've still got a vestigial holiday from that. So we have a bank holiday on the May the 1st, so some things never change. And its earliest mentions in literature are in Gaelic Irish writings. But it's thought that the Celts celebrated it to honour the fertility of the gods, and they practice ritual and human sacrifice. The rituals were performed to protect livestock, and part of the ritual was to either drive the cattle between the fires lit by druids or around them.
I saw that. That must be so hard.
I don't know, if they do it every year, they must get used to it.
I know, but cows aren't small.
Quite easily, I don't know, I don't know much about cows, to be honest. I've grown up in semi-rural areas and now I live in the city, so.
I don't know. I think it's impressive to be able to lead a cow.
Yeah, well, apparently, you know Welsh Corgis, the dog breed?
Yeah, they're actually herding dogs, aren't
they? Yeah, they're cattle dogs.
I know this because I follow a corgi that lives on a farm on TikTok, so there we go.
And that's why they're so small and stumpy, because they can run in between the legs of the cows and avoid getting kicked by them.
Oh, wow. You think there would be more chance, but there we go.
Yeah, I'd love a corgi.
Yeah, they're lush.
But so the rituals were also performed by people, so they would daub themselves in the ashes of the fire, and they would dance around and then jump over the fire. And this was done to protect the crops and encourage growth. And then also, so May is a time of blossoming and flowers and growth. And people would, dress the houses and decorate them with flowers and also decorate the livestock. So you'd be driving around cows covered in flowers, and they'd have little flower crowns on them.
Oh, I love cows, they're so pretty. So I think a cow in a flower crown makes me a bit emosh.
I know, and their eyelashes are just so beautiful. But the Romans celebrated what was called Florilegia, which is not a sexual position, funny enough. And it was a festival of flowers, and it was a sex festival as well. So you'd have 3 days of unbridled sexual activity, and that would ensure the earth's fertility. So the buds of May that we're seeing at the moment are making me so happy. They evoke the endless cycle of birth, growth, death, and rebirth. And Beltane is a festival of sexual energy. So people, everyone's seen people dancing around maypoles. So a maypole is actually a phallic fertility symbol. So it's basically a massive erect cock that everyone dances around.
That was my fact I read, yeah. This maypole that everyone thinks is really innocent that they get their children to like dance around is a giant penis.
It is a giant penis.
Phallic symbol, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And traditionally, all the hearths in the homes were doused and then all relit in a ritual from the bell fires, so from the Beltane fires. It was also a time to go visit holy wells. And actually, the dew that falls on the grass on Beltane morning is meant to bring beauty and maintain youthfulness. So if you want to collect some of that and then use it in your skincare ritual, that could be really beneficial.
I've got a ritual for that.
Oh, synergy.
Coming later.
So we see a lot of pre-Christian figures appearing in Beltane, so such as the Green Man. So he's traditionally depicted as a masculine face covered in leaves and shrubbery. Get us our shrubbery! Sorry, I could not stick that in. And it's also associated with Kurnos, the horned god. And it's in traditions in some places, and they would make an effigy of the Green Man or the horned god, and it would be carried through the villages in a wicker cage, and they would burn it, just like in the Wicker Man.
And that's something I was talking to you about, isn't it? If any of you have seen the film Midsummer, which I think in the film is based on the longest day of the year, which is the summer solstice, but actually the rituals within that are Beltane rituals. They, you know, she danced around the maypole. As you all know, there is some sex related issues within that.
I still haven't seen it.
Oh, I know you're not into horror films, but it's very, very good. We'll watch it. We'll watch it.
I did see The Wicker Man as, I think, in a very formative part of my life. He was on very late on Channel 4.
That's where everyone watched
it. And Eurotrash. Remember Eurotrash?
Yeah.
And that made a massive impression on me. I haven't seen the Nicolas Cage version, but I have seen memes like, not the bears! But I'm still undecided whether Nicolas Cage is a genius or just crazy.
Yeah, he's a strange one. His son is in a proper black metal band.
That's cool.
Yeah, and he had a great wedding. I remember seeing pictures of it, and it was so cool. But
what's his name?
I can't remember. But they got married in the UK on like the back of a tractor, and had their reception in a pub, and so it's like not classy at all, but it was like really gothic and stuff. And then there's just Nicolas Cage like standing in the background, and you just think that's really random.
That'd be really cool.
Yeah.
Imagine being like Nicolas Cage's child, and you just looking at his previous roles, just being like, "What? What are you doing, Dad?"
He's very confusing, I guess. And I think my issue is with him is that Dave has made me watch some horrendous films with him in. Mm. So some horror films. So if you listen to the Ghoulies podcast, I know they didn't review it, but we watched Mandy, which is really bizarre. Mm. And he's like playing someone whose wife gets abducted or girlfriend gets abducted, but he's abducted by like these crazed, oh, you just have to watch it, it's so random. And then he made me watch one called The Colour from Space, and terrified me, couldn't sleep for days.
Yeah, no horror films for me. Yeah. I will watch Midsummer at some point.
Yeah, you'd like it. It's good.
Yeah, so in also other figures that are depicted during Beltane is the battle between the May Queen and the Winter Queen.
Oh.
And the May Queen overthrows the Winter Queen, and then we get spring. But modern pagans celebrate Beltane in much the same way that ancient people did. So we celebrate the waxing power of the sun, and it's a good time for abundance, creativity, fertility, and just watching the world bloom. So there was one tradition that I read about. It was written about by 18th century writers in the UK. And what you do is you make an oat cake. You cut the oat cake up into pieces. One slice of the cake is marked with a bit of soot. And you put it into a hat, and then everyone draws out a piece of cake. And whoever gets the dirty slice of cake, everyone else has to pretend to throw them on the fire. And then they have to jump over the fire 3 times. And then you have to talk to them as if they were dead for the rest of the night. And perhaps this is like a remnant of when people practice human sacrifice.
So not only do you have to eat a dirty bit of cake, people have to pretend you're dead.
That bit was making me laugh. Because like, do you remember we used to hang out and we'd be like, oh, I haven't seen, I don't know, Dan for a while. And then you'd sort of turn to someone and go, Dan's been dead for 10 years.
Yeah, we used to do that with Karis all the time.
I was just like, yeah. So.
Do they just have to lie on the floor, like, next to the fire?
No, I was saying they have to jump around and walk about and stuff. But, so you just have to talk. I don't know how you talk to someone as if they're dead, like.
Surely you just ignore them. Mm. Or you just say, I hope you're resting well.
Yeah.
Hope you're not feeling too cold or...
But I thought that'd be quite a fun one to do. But yeah, so that is a basic overview of Beltane's history. So Amy, how is it that we're going to celebrate this wonderful festival of sex and fire?
There's loads of things to do for Beltane, I feel like. And one of the things I'll like talk about later on is don't feel like, oh my God, this festival's like so much sex. I'm not sure like I can handle the pressure of that. There's loads of other stuff you can do. One thing I read that like people used to do, which obviously you wouldn't do now, is for Beltane they would get married on Beltane and they would do like a hand fasting ceremony, which I think is what they do in pagan weddings anyway.
Yeah, hand fasting.
Yeah, and then they would all go into the forest and do the day kind of thing.
Nice.
And come out, and that's when, because they're making the babies on Beltane, which I thought was like really interesting.
Beltane's supposed to be a really good time if you're trying to conceive. It's a really great time to sort of sow your wild oats and get on with it, you know?
So first of all, before I talk about like altar setups or wherever your sacred space is. So, you know, you hear us talk about like flowers, decorating your altar with flowers. You can literally just have like a vase of flowers or dried flowers, floral scented candles or like wax melts or incenses. As we said, it's like we've got like the phallic penis, you've got that feminine and masculinity side. So what you can do then to sort of represent a masculine side is you can have like antler horns, fake or real, up to you, and you can have like scents like myrrh incense to sort of cover that side of it. I've seen people make mini maypoles. Have you seen them?
No, that sounds adorable.
You can buy them on Etsy.
My micro penis.
It's like almost like a they've just sort of got a stick, they've stuck it to like what do you call it, like a circle of wood, and they've just hung the ribbon from the top, so it's like a mini maypole that you can sort of bring out and decorate it. I'm sure you could do something like where you just had the ribbon, but you can also use like corn dolls, Beltane corn dolls.
I'd like to learn how to make those. I've seen some really pretty ones on the Pickety Witch that you sent me.
Yeah, I think they're really like interesting to look at, and as you said, it'd be amazing to make one, and then you could sort of bring it out every year. I saw something, and maybe you can help me with this. So I saw a lot of people popping chalices on their altar, and it was full of something red. Is that to symbolise what I think it is?
Possibly. So traditionally, in a lot of Wiccan practices, have you seen, because when we went to see Twin Temple, so you have the chalice and the athame.
Yeah.
And you symbolically place the athame into the chalice, and this is a symbolic of, like, coitus.
Yeah.
I'm getting all technical now. Like, sex, basically. You're putting the penis in the vagina.
Yeah, that's so, what I thought it was. And I saw a lot of people have chalice and it was either like red wine or they put like a red liquid in there. And obviously you do what you will. You can also get like a goddess statue. The lovely thing about like your altar is you can go really bright with it. So magentas, yellows, greens, blues, violets. Really, really pretty. And sort of crystal wise, you've got your jade, your emerald, your rose quartz, your malachite. So lots of lovely sort of like pretty things. If you've got a floral crown, you can sort of put that on your altar as well. So really bright, really summery, really sort of pretty. My altar needs a good sort out actually, so I'm looking forward to sorting out mine
to refresh.
Yes, and now I've got a few sort of spells, rituals, whatever you want to do. So you hear the cat talk a lot about a sacred fire. It's one of the things that a lot of the research encourages you to do is to have a fire. Now, if you don't have a location for a fire, candles, igniting that flame is the same sort of thing. So the modern witch can use, instead of like a campfire, is use items that have the qualities of a flame. So you could use crystals like citrine, because they're vibrant and they've got healing and creative energies, and also things like warm colors as well as like cinnamon and calendula flowers. So they have that kind of like fire-esque essence,
spicy.
But if you can have a fire, I found sort of a little ritual to have like a fire. So nice. The materials you would need, and this is going from if you were sort of doing it on the ground, but you could do this in a fire pit and you wouldn't need, say for example, stone. So you need a stone for kindling, a bundle of split and dried wood, so you know how you set up a fire, colour for cotton or silk ribbons, dried flowers, something to light the fire, and a green chime candle. You could also have a drum.
Ooh, we love a cleansing sound.
Yeah, drum is optional. So in your outdoor space, you know, you're going to create your fire. So you would put on the bottom layer kindling and your dried leaves and your brush bark and shredded wood. And then you'd put your sort of sticks on the top. Can you tell I don't really like set fires very, very often. With the bundle on top, what you would do is you'd wrap your colourful ribbons around the bundle. And then you could dress that with like your dried flowers and pop that on top of the fire. Ignite the kindling. Now, that's with any method that ignites a spark. If a lighter is your easiest option, do it that way. You can use a flint. Apparently, if you have the skills, you can also use rubbing two sticks together.
Yeah, no, I don't know if I could do that. I met someone recently and they made, it was like little bits of cloth that had been dipped in oil and then cooked in a tin over a fire. And then you literally just use a flint to create sparks on it. And that sets a fire. And there are a type of fungi called King Alfred's cakes that if you dry them out, you can make a little hollow in them. And ancient peoples used to move the embers of flames in them so you could carry them. So you can carry it from one location to the other. And then use them to set fire to. I can see your face because you hate fungi, but they're very, very useful.
This is why I want nothing to do with them, because they're gross, but they can carry fire now. Like, no. But that is a very interesting fact, though. So you were going to ignite your kindling, and as you're doing that, you could beat the drum if you wanted to. And as you continue, beat the drum louder and louder to visualise the flames dancing higher and higher in the air. So when the flames are crackling and the smoke is billowing, you can begin your Beltane ritual. So you could dance around the fire to encourage fertility or creative growth. And one thing I read, which is like a common theme, is if you don't want Beltane to be sexual, you can use a lot of that fertility to fertilitate. Fertilize creativity. So you don't have to use it as a sexual energy per se.
There are different types of fertility. There's not just, you know, being fecund.
Yes. And as you said, if you can safely leap across the dying embers to bless yourself with fertile and protective energies. If you're celebrating in a circle or with a coven, now we have the rule of six. This is something you can do outside with your coven. You can perform a symbolic hand fasting ceremony between the May Queen and King as well, binding the two energies in a sacred union. Once you have completed your ritual, you can light the green candle from the embers of Beltane fire, and you can reignite your hearth and fire or candles to bless your home. So basically you'd use the fire from those fires to light the ones in your home, and that would bless it. This sounds really nice. I think I'm going to do a fire.
Yeah, well, because I'm a city witch and we're talking about drums, so I am on the lookout for a old washing machine. Because if you take the metal drum out of it, they make excellent fire pits. So, you know, if you see one, we hate fly tipping, but if you see one around, definitely make use of it, because it's got the holes in it and it's quite high-sided, so that you can cook on them. I've had one in my previous house and they're brilliant.
Yeah, I've seen somebody use like a tumble dryer one as well. Mm-hmm. They're really good.
Recycling.
And recycling. I know it's not the prettiest one, but it does the job, doesn't it? Yeah. Now, the other sort of charm I found is linked to a conversation I had with a cat earlier today. It's called a hawthorn flower charm. So there are ingredients in this that I don't know if they would be hard to come by, but you may, if you really wanted to do this charm, you would need to put some effort in. Again, that links to how powerful your charm's going to be off the back of that as well. But if you want to change it for your purpose, then that's absolutely fine. So the reason why I was talking to Kat about it, because I was like, oh, I need to find a hawthorn tree to find some bits and pieces. So the material, so this would help you carry the power of fertility, growth and protection. So you would make like a little vial that you could put in your bag or on your altar. So your ingredients, you need some dried rose petals, sandalwood essence, frankincense essence, hawthorn blossoms and fawns. Online I found that you can buy leaves, you can buy hawthorn berries, but I haven't seen blossoms, so it's a case that you're going to have to go find a hawthorn tree. From what I read is if you have this near you, they were used a lot on farmlands, so sort of in the hedgerows, so, or in between sort of the stone fences, so that's where you may find a hawthorn tree. That's where I'm going to look.
Like a barrier plant.
Yeah, I think it's because they're hot, they're quite hardy, so that's why you'll see them there. Honey, a mortar and pestle, charcoal discs, a cauldron or a fireproof dish, a lighter or matches, and then a small bottle with a cap or cork on it. You can buy them like in a job lot, like from Amazon.
You can get them in Tiger as well when Tiger's open.
Oh, can you?
Yeah, they have them in there sometimes. They have different range of sizes ones as well. It's really cool.
Oh, that's really handy to know. Love Tiger. So, to craft, what you have to do first is you have to make a Beltane incense. So, in the pestle and mortar, you would grind the rose petal or sandalwood and frankincense to a rough powder. And the roses carry the vibrations of love and protection. Sandalwood are for deep relaxation. I love the smell of sandalwood. I'm always attracted to that smell in like aftershaves and perfumes and stuff. I definitely go for it. And spiritual enlightenment. And the frankincense is emotional ease and cleansing. So you'd light your charcoal disc. Charcoal discs you can get like on Amazon, loads of witch stores. They're kind of like, as it sounds, like it's like a size of a 2p. It's like a little bit of coal that you light on fire. And you would sprinkle the essence over the top in your fireproof bowl. Lots of people use that to burn resins and stuff as well, and loose essence. So physically and energetically, this you'd cleanse the small bottle by first sanitizing it with boiling water and then passing it through your Beltane incense. So it's sort of like in last episode where we had the hand cleansing spell. That incense is going to cleanse your bottle and is going to put those good vibrations into it. So you're going to collect your handful of hawthorn blossoms, making sure to pinch or cut them off the stems and fill the bottle halfway with the blossoms. And then you're going to pour your honey over the top until it reaches the top of the bottle. Place a single fawn from a hawthorn branch into the honey, and then you would cap it or cork the bottle. And then you gently roll the bottle between your hands. You may also use the honey in spells of same intention. If you need to charge it, because these little potion bottles, they don't last forever, you can charge it by charge it in the waxing sunlight for an hour. And if you wanted to as well, what I would do is I would seal the bottle with some wax.
Wax, yeah, definitely.
It means, like, if you have it in your pocket, it won't come off. Now, you can either do that
by... Don't get a sticky pocket.
No. Ugh. You can just, like... I have a wax seal. You don't have to be a dick like me and have a wax seal.
I use my ring. I've got a pentagram ring. And oh, I put my ring. Cool. I put my ring into the... I put my ring in the wax.
But you can just hang a cat, like... tip a candle over it and the wax can seal it. So that's that one. So I think one of my goals, like, for the next couple of weeks is I'm going to go and find this tree. Mm-hmm. And then if I find one and there's plenty of stuff and you listen to the podcast and you're like, I want to do that, I will send you some hawthorn blossoms. Like, no problem. Mm-hmm. Another one I got is linked to what you just said about the morning dew.
Ah, that's funny.
Yeah. And I have a really cute story about dew. So... my niece, like, goes to Welsh school, and I went to Welsh school. And once we went for a walk, I mean, it was in the morning, and there was loads of dew on the grass. And I said, oh, look at all the dew everywhere. Isn't it pretty? And she went, oh, in school, we learned that dew is everywhere. So God in Welsh is dew. And she was like, what do you mean that dew's everywhere? I was like, oh, you mean God. I'm talking about these little droplets of like...
It's like, oh, do.
Yeah, water. So, as according to folklore, if a woman washes her face with the first collected dew of Beltane morning, it provides her with eternal youth and beauty.
100% doing that.
And also, if a man washes his hands with the same dew, he will become adept at tying knots.
Oh, okay.
That's what you need in your life, a man that can tie knots.
We'll have to see if there's any Shibari experts listening who can attest to that.
I suppose, like, in folklore, that would have been, like, a big skill to have.
Yeah, it's like, oh, you can tie over 50 knots. He's a catch.
The same as, did you see how many trees he chopped down yesterday? You won him, didn't you? Yeah. So Beltane dew can be used in place of sacred water in any ritual. So... this is a ritual using the dew, but if you wanted to collect it, you can use it instead of moon water as well. But in this spell, I'm going to use it for beauty, attraction, and glamour.
Nice. Glamour is actually a magical word.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, to cast a glamour is to cast a spell to change something's appearance. So when you get glammed up, you're, like, changing your features, you're casting a spell, you're creating a glamour.
So some people are definitely better than that others. At dawn on Beltane, so you may be thinking, how do you gather dew?
I was wondering that.
How do you gather it? Well, I can tell you how to gather it. So on dawn on Beltane, you can gather cotton cloth. So I think the best type of cloth to use it is like a muslin. So if you've got a baby or a toddler, you may still have muslins, but a really thin piece of cotton cloth. You don't want like a thick dish one. And you'd make your way to a dewy, you know, hawthorn tree, if you could find one, a meadow or a patch of grass. So you could just go to your garden or a nearby field. And what you would do is you run the cloth against the greenery until it becomes saturated in water. And then you would wring it out into your glass bowl. So when the bowl is halfway full, place it on the ground and face the rising sun. You walk 3 times around the bowl while you chant, "Oh Beltane dew, milky drops of maiden youth, bring me eternal beauty inside and out." You'd sit on the ground facing the sunrise, and with the bowl of dew in front of you, wash your face with the dew, massaging it into your skin in circles. Now, allow the dawning rays of sunlight to dry the dew on your face. What it says here, and it makes me feel uncomfortable, but that's just me. It says then not to wash your face until the following day.
What's wrong with that?
Maybe because I'm into my skincare.
You've got a shower before you've gone out.
Yeah, you wouldn't be a dirty person for this. This is just me.
Dirty. witches.
I guess you wouldn't. I wouldn't put makeup on that day or anything because you would have the sort of the lovely essence. Of the
yeah, exactly.
And that glow. But that I think that's a really lovely. Like, oh, if it's sunny and you do that in the morning, how lovely does that sound?
Yeah. You have to pay a lot of money for that in a spa.
Exactly, exactly. And if you did have any dew left, then you could bottle that and you could use it in other ceremonies. You'd find a spell. I'm not going to share it because it came with a warning.
Ooh.
And
dark magic.
I was worried by the warning because I was like, if someone does that on the podcast and something bad happens to them. So the specific spell, basically, you shouldn't do, you should avoid if you were pregnant, nursing, undergoing IVF or hormonal medical interventions. So basically, it sounds like it can counteract a lot of these or have a heart condition. And I was like,
has it got belladonna in it?
I do have one of these, Dermania, which I think I have that spice. It's got brandy, raw honey. I think it's the raw honey.
Brandy.
They tell you not to have when you're pregnant, but it sounded like it would counteract the pill as well, because it said hormonal intervention. But yeah, so I'm not going to share that one because I'm too scared of being
getting you all pregnant during bell time.
I don't want to get anyone pregnant. Yeah. So I also wanted to talk about fairies and... Fairies are something that I haven't, like, thought about, really, for years and years and years. I used to like them as a child, lots. And then, as I've got more into this podcast with you, more fairy things have come out. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I love fairies. I love the fae. And one of the things I learned recently, which is really interesting, is my garden's full of primrose. And apparently that's, like, really linked to fairy circles and fairies. And it's a portal to, like, the fairy like realm.
Fairy rings and the Toilus Teg.
Yeah, and it's really pretty. And then I saw this one, which is called a willow fairy eye. So, again, it could be, like, a altar decoration. So, willow is one of the sacred trees of Beltane. I think Beltane has quite a lot of sacred trees.
Yeah, hawthorn, ash, and what was the other one?
Was it birch?
Oh, I can't remember the ones I was seeing. The hawthorn and ash.
I see it somewhere, but I can't remember now. But yeah, so willow is one of the sacred trees of Beltane, and it's often referred to the tree of enchantment. So in this sort of the Celtic tree alphabet that made up the early Irish language, willow is the letter S, and the lunar month of mid-April to mid-May. So the water element and the moon rule it and link it to love, magic, emotion, fertility, inner healing and protection. So it links really nicely to Beltane. It is also one of the nine sacred woods bundle for a Beltane fighter. So there's nine woods that are sacred to Beltane.
I think oak. I think I'm remembering oak was it one sacred to Beltane as well.
Oh, okay. We'll share loads of these afterwards as well, like as we have been doing with our podcast. And I'll see, maybe we can do some... You know, some posts about trees.
That would be cool.
We've become a tree podcast. It also has a connection to the moon goddess, and it allows her to travel between realms. It is said that if you make a circle out of willow, you can peer into the realms of the fae. So, what you're doing here is like weaving a little circle, which is kind of like when we did the Bridges Cross.
Yeah, that was
so cool. This one's a nice one. I think it's actually, you know, like the corn dolls wouldn't be achievable, but this one would. So from a willow tree, you would request, because obviously you're borrowing it from the tree, a small twig that you can twist to create a sort of magnifying glass. And if you have trouble bending it, you can soak it for an hour or two in warm water. So once you form the eye, you would say, spirits of May, come out and play. Bless me with the sight of the fae. And then you'd bring the willow eye up to your left eye, left side of your body, that connects to the spirit world, and peer around, looking for any signs of the fae, such as flashes of light or fluttering movement. Gardens, forest entrances, and the banks of rivers and ponds are excellent places to spy on the fae. Especially love fuzzy catkins. They especially love fuzzy catkins.
I think it's like pussy willow.
On a pussy willow tree. I was just a bit like, oh, that's...
I think catkins, they're, you know, the little seed pods, that's what they're called on a pussy willow.
The little fluffy ones.
Yeah, like the little fluffy balls.
So I think think this one, it depends if you believe in that sort of thing. This goes very much into the spiritual mm-hmm. kind of world of things. It's not something that I'm hugely into. But I think this would be a nice one to do with children as well on Beltane.
Yeah, that would be nice.
It says here what you can do is you can leave out like nectar, honey or sweets for the fae or like fairy cakes as well. And it may help if you dance or play a little music and you would be interested. They may be attracted and you can see them through the little eye then. But I thought that was really cute.
Yeah, we'll be talking about it in later episodes, but there are a lot of fae stories and lore around the Tylwyth Teg and the Eos in Welsh witchcraft traditions. So yeah, we'll be talking about people's belief in the fae probably in the next episode.
Yeah, I know Mahara on Instagram, she always talks about the fae. And I'm looking forward to learning that about
yeah
it.
That'd be awesome.
I have one last like actual sort of spell, and this links to the Liv, so you're wondering, Amy, when are you gonna give me something useful, right? So this is called the Cinnamon Love Attracting Sachet. So
sachet away.
So you know if you have if you get a piece of jewelry or
the gift bags,
the little tiny like little
drawstring gift bags. I have hundreds.
Yeah, you could use this I also have hundreds of them. I think every witch product comes in one of those tiny little bags.
Yeah, they're so useful, so handy.
I know. So cinnamon is a powerful tool in magic, and it's for attracting love. So in the spell, we're making this sachet so you can carry it around with you. So really straightforward. If you can get a red one of those pouches, even better. You're going to put a cinnamon stick in it, snapped in half, half a teaspoon of dried rose petals, half a teaspoon of ground star anise, and then half a teaspoon of dried basil and a small quartz crystal. So you just put all the ingredients in the bag. You can wear it around your neck if you want to, or you can carry it in a pocket close to your heart, and you can remove it anytime, but keep it close by. So it's a love attracting spell if you want to attract any love. Who doesn't? Mm-hmm. So yeah, I just got a few little things which are more like chill. So you're thinking, oh, I'm not going to do a big fire for just me and my partner, or I'm just going to be celebrating Beltane by myself. What can I do? So you can do some home comfort cooking. So cakes. Yeah. It's a lot of what I've seen recipes for.
Yeah, feasting is a really big part of Beltane.
Yes, yeah, definitely. I saw some recipe, I may share it, for like some honey oat cakes, and they had like raisins in them. I thought that was really nice. Cook with your partner as well, so you're going to have this feast, you're going to prepare it together.
Or a friend,
yeah, housemate, whatever you're going to do. You would just have like light-hearted fun, be flirty. You could each put flowers in your hair as well, put some music on, dance. You could also dress in like red or white. Also, because it's us, you can have a ritual bath. So
you must have a ritual bath.
You must have a ritual bath. So
you don't have to.
This one kind of links to how you would decorate your altar. So you could just decorate your bath with these things to make it more sort of Beltane. So you would have your flowers, you can have then your candles, you could have seashells, and that would honour Aphrodite. You'd have salt in your bath, some rose oil and rosemary, and that would be a really floral bath that would honour Beltane.
I think I'm going to do an oat milk bath with flowers. That's why I've been saving up all my bouquets and drying them out. And that's what I'm going to do for Beltane, and then have a fire.
I love photography when people have milk baths. I think it's really pretty.
It's lush, no?
I've seen people do it with babies, and I really wish I'd done it with Thomas. Aww. With him in there. I don't think I would get him to lie down in the bath like that now with loads of flowers, but maybe I could give it a go.
Just do it yourself, babe.
Yeah, just do my... Can my tripod go that way? I wonder. But yeah, lots of different things. It's going to be like such like a day to welcome summer, isn't it?
And also obviously it's not all about sex, but if you are curious about sex magic, Beltane would be a really good time to try. So you don't have to be in a partnership or have a sexual partner. You can just try having a really nice, mindful wank. You know?
Exactly.
Light some candles, get some oils or incense burning, and think about your intention so you're not pushing towards the point of climax. You are just feeling and setting intentions, and you keep what you want to happen in your mind until you come. But also, if you can do it with a partner, it's pretty fucking cool.
I think that's really interesting because I saw, do you follow Self Love and More on Instagram?
Yes.
And they were talking about why do you like wank, or do you build yourself up, or you just aim in to come? And I think the majority of the people just said, oh yeah, I'm just aiming like to get the job done.
Yeah, some people just treat it like a chore, like but cracking one out, you know, they don't ease into it or savour it. I think it's really important to feel all the feelings and not push. That's the main thing with sex magic. You do not push towards the end. You go on the journey and the end comes to you when you come.
There you go. We all want to know the stories of what you do.
please send me. please tell me your stories.
Yeah, tell me your sex magic stories. That's where we'll be one of those podcasts. We'll get shadow banned on Instagram.
Honestly, if I was more mature, I would have loved to be a sex therapist, but I don't think it's a good profession for me, because if somebody was talking to me and they were like, oh, it's so hard, I would just be like, that's what she said. And you can't say that in a therapy session.
No. But it's important. What you're saying is what everybody is lacking, and what the key thing of witchcraft is savouring that moment, is taking your time with it.
Mm-hmm. Enjoy the journey.
Enjoy the journey. And, you know, some of these, like, spells and rituals, yeah, they take, you know, a couple of minutes. But, you know, your ritual bath, do you want to be in there for, like, an hour? Yes, you do. Your morning dew collection ritual, I can tell you now, that's not going to be a 5-minute job. And to have enough to wash your face.
Ooh, dew ritual and a wank.
Yeah, exactly. What a pleasant day. I it was quite funny in the one book, so as I keep going on this book I've got about the Wheel of the Year, what does it say? You may find your local witches all in the forest having their with orgies. And I was like, oh, need to find my local forest for my orgy.
I would love to go for a witch orgy. Like, if you've got some kind of clandestine sex cult, please hit me up.
Unless, as you know, in the last podcast episode, it's Old Man Wang.
If it's Gerald Gardner, I feel bad because the last few episodes I've, like, dissed Gerald Gardner hard. But I just don't like him as a person. The more I've learned about him, I just don't rate him. Sorry, Wiccans.
Oh no, we're going to lose all the Wiccan people.
No, we love you, Wiccans. Please stay.
Oh, and that's it.
That's Beltane.
That's Beltane.
It's been a very saucy, steamy episode.
Yeah, it's going to be nice. I really hope it's going to be like a lovely, bright, sunny day. Yeah, and it's wonderful and full of
fire,
love and creativity and fire. Yeah. Yes.
Relight my fire. Come on, baby, light my fire. You're a fire starter, twisted fire starter.
You're just thinking of all
We didn't start the fire. I'm just naming song names now.
I can't think of any of us. When you started saying that, I was like, I can't think of any fire songs. Yeah. I'm sure I know many. My memory's awful.
Fire in the Disco.
What were they called? Electric Six.
Electric Six. Danger.
What a great band.
And coming up, we will be recording some mini episodes with guests. And our first guest is the amazing Max Cairo, creator of our fucking fantastic logo, who's going to come and talk to us about her experience of being a bruja. Now's the time where we pull the cards. Bear with us while we enter the Gnostic state. Cue elevator music.
Ooh,
I pulled the Ace of Cups.
You have a cup theme on this podcast.
We do have a lot of cups. We're very emotional people. Cups are the emotive cards. Okay, so Let me get my book. So, Ace of Cups, new beginnings, new love, friendship, and heightened psychic senses.
Ooh.
A new beginning of deep nature, such as a romantic relationship, or an intimate and loyal friendship.
Ah, it's a new one though, so you're going to replace me.
No, no. New beginning of a deep nature.
Oh, so we're just going to get deeper?
Yes.
Okay.
Deeper, deeper.
That's a lot of last podcast reference. Okay, I've got the sun.
Ah, sick.
Naked baby.
Naked baby riding a horse. Oh, yeah.
I stroked a horse today.
On
my run, there was a horse up there.
Oh, that's quite topical then. Pulled a...
Yeah, there's wild horses up there.
So the sun, success, joy, happiness, radiance, energy, and enthusiasm.
Oh, I needed this card today. Mm-hmm. I've been lackluster this week, so I needed...
Mm. So this is a joyous omen of completion and harvesting the fruits of your labour.
Woohoo!
Success, radiance, and enthusiasm. Woohoo. It's been a very enthusiastic day.
Has been pretty enthusiastic.
Yeah.
Aww. And also, there's sunflowers on this card, and I just noticed my sunflowers have started to come through in the garden.
Babe,
so
it's a full circle moment.
There we go. Oh.
And what is the sun made out of? Fire.
Whoa. I don't know if you hear that, because I was so far away from my back there. But whoa. Mind blown. Do we have anything else?
We have guests coming. Please tune in for our history episodes. I've got some hilarious stories to tell Amy about. Some of the practices are just redonkulous. So, yeah, and want to say thank you to everyone for listening. The reception has been amazing. Thank you so much. Yeah, anything for you to say, babes?
No, if you want to talk to us, head over to Instagram. That's where we are all the time. We don't have any other social media platforms because we can't be bothered with any more, I suppose.
But, I'm too old for TikTok, I've decided.
No one's. I'm older than you.
Yeah.
I don't make TikToks, though. I just laugh at them. Laugh or cry. I find that TikTok has an emotional side as well. I don't have anything to say. Thank you. Hope you're enjoying it. Any feedback would be welcome.
Yeah, please send us any questions you have.
Yeah, any questions, any recommendations. Hopefully soon, if we can get together, we'll do a live Q&A maybe. But I'm terrified nobody will actually join and then it was live and that's embarrassing.
We just ask each other questions.
But that's it then.
Yeah. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. We've been the Loony Witch Podcast. Happy fucking Beltane.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.